This is the great joy of the Christian life. It is not something that is imposed from outside of you. God creates a desire within you to live a new kind of life. And you see, that's real freedom. There is no greater freedom than when you want what God commands.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever heard freedom defined that way before.
Well, I find it a very helpful definition, Steve, because as long as God's commands are pulling one way and my desires are pulling another, I'm going to be in turmoil.
Sure.
And we all know what that experience is like. And this is the heart of the new birth, that rather than simply commanding us to move in a new direction, which God could simply do and then leave it up to us and we'd be in all kinds of trouble. He does more than that. He gives us a new birth, a new life, a new principle, his Holy Spirit, a new desire.
Yeah.
Not that we don't still have the old temptations that pull the other way, but there is a desire in the heart of every Christian. I want to live for Christ. And that's the presence of the Holy Spirit.
And that's exactly what this new series that we're beginning to dive into today is really all about, what it means to become that new creation in Christ.
Yeah, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So the Christian life is more than a new behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually becoming a new person, so that growing in the Christian life really is becoming who you are as a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful, and it's absolutely liberating.
Well, we're going to begin to explore that today as we have a message entitled New Birth. If you can, hope you'll open your Bible, join us in 1 Peter chapter 1 as we begin the series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life.
Now, one of the reasons I think we have great joy as a congregation is that over these last months, there have been many people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let me speak to you for just a moment. You've come to see that you're a sinner who needs a Savior. You've come to see that Jesus Christ is precisely the Savior you need. And so, as best you know, you have told him that you believe in him and you have decided to follow him. And of course, the big question is, where do you go now from here? Well, that's the question that we're going to seek to answer from the Bible over these next 10 weeks. Now, there are other folks among us who are still thinking the claims of Jesus Christ through. You have begun to explore what Christians believe, and you sometimes wonder, now, what would it be like if I followed Jesus Christ? What should I expect? What will it cost? Is this something that I can really do? Well, if that's where you are, then these next weeks will give to you an inside look at the realities of the Christian life. Now, I have three aims for this series that is going to run over these next 10 weeks. The first is very simply that we will learn the Christian life. This is going to be a series not about what Christians believe, but about how Christians live. More than any other book of the Bible, 1 Peter is about the experience of the Christian life. It is, if you like, a manual for discipleship. And I think that it's very significant that God, the Holy Spirit, moved Peter to write this particular book in the New Testament. Remember, of course, he was the leading disciple of Jesus, and he knew from his own experience the highs and lows of the Christian life. He was the one who confessed that Jesus is the Christ. He was also the one who denied that Jesus is the Christ, denied that he ever knew Jesus. He walked on water because of his great faith. He nearly drowned because of his weak faith. So the grace of God touched this man in the highs and lows of his life, and the Spirit of God prompted him to write this special letter in the New Testament that really sets out the experience of the Christian life. Now, if you have your Bibles open, as I hope you do, you'll notice that right at the beginning, he identifies his audience, and that's important. If you're into email, you probably have several screen names, and your multiple screen names are different ways of describing or identifying yourself. Now, if we think of this letter as being like an email, Peter begins by filling in the send box, and he puts in there five screen names for Christian believers. Notice them. They are God's elect. They are strangers in the world. They are chosen by God. They are set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. They are set apart by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus, and they are sprinkled by the blood of Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you have come to be joined to him by faith, then all these things are true of you. Every one of these screen names fits you. Now, that's the audience. What about the purpose? If you turn just two pages over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, we really are going to stay in this book, so you won't have to move more than a couple of pages. Notice he gives a clear statement of why he wrote the letter. 1 Peter 5:12. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. In other words, he is writing so that these young Christians may know that they have the real deal. You may face great difficulties, he says to them, but don't ever forget that what you've got in Jesus Christ is the true grace of God. So stand fast in it. Stick with it. Now, we're not only going to learn the Christian life from this book, we're going to learn how to learn from the Bible. 1 Peter has always had a very special place in my own life for this reason. My own pastor, as I grew up, Derek Prime, was deeply convinced that the best way to equip new believers in the Christian faith was to teach them 1 Peter. And his reason for this conviction was very simple. That 1 Peter covers all the key issues of the Christian life in one book. Now, the problem with many discipleship manuals that you can buy is that they send you jumping around all over the Bible, which is very confusing for a young Christian. Now, the beauty of this approach is that you will learn how to learn from the Bible. In other words, by the end of our 10-week series, you will feel that you could go on your own to another book of the Bible and learn from it in the same way as we have learned together from 1 Peter. So we're going to learn the Christian life, we're going to learn how to learn from the Bible, and then thirdly, we're going to learn what God wants us to know. Now, another great advantage, it seems to me, of doing basic discipleship this way is that God sets the curriculum. Let me explain what I mean by that. You see, Peter was writing to new believers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to work on the assumption that everything that God the Holy Spirit prompted Peter to write for them is also relevant for us. What God knew young Christians needed to get grounded in the first century is the same as what God knows young Christians need to get grounded in the 21st century. Now, I think this is important because, quite honestly, if I had been asked to write a curriculum for new believers, I would have done a session on prayer, a session on Bible reading, a session on witnessing, and so forth and so on. It would have been fairly predictable. I certainly would not have included a session on submission, a session on freedom, and a session on suffering, which Peter includes here. And actually, when you think about it, these themes are central to the experience of the Christian life. So by taking our basic manual of discipleship from the scriptures themselves, as God has put this letter into the New Testament for that very purpose, we avoid a curriculum that is slanted by the prejudices or limited horizons of any given teacher. Our aim, therefore, is going to simply be that we will come to God's discipleship manual and learn it unedited, uncut, as God gave it through the Apostle Peter. And I think that you will find, as many have found over the years, that as this letter gets inside of you, It will give direction to the whole of your Christian life.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Birth. It's the first in our series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And in addition to being able to listen to the series on the radio, you can also listen online or through our app. But you can also read Pastor Colin's book by the same title based on this series. And we would love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You see, Open the Bible is listener supported. It's your generosity that keeps this program on this station. But as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. To find out more or to give online, again, our website is openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Grab a Bible, meet us there as we get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
I do hope that with our appetite whetted, your Bible will now be open at 1 Peter as we begin together. You've become a Christian. You said a prayer. You made a commitment to Jesus. But what actually happened? What has changed? What has really been the content of what has gone on in you? Now, Peter goes straight to the explanation. Verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." New birth. That's what's happened to you, he says, to new believers. Now, there's a great deal of confusion today over what is meant by the phrase born again or new birth. People ask, you know, are you a born again Christian? And they use that phrase as if a born again Christian was simply one brand among many. Now, when the Bible says that you have been born again, it simply means that God has brought about a deep change at the very center or core of your being. He has given you a new nature, which means that you have a new disposition, a new appetite, and a new capacity. Let's explore these together. First, a new disposition. See, God created you. He made you with unique gifts, personality, temperament, abilities. And the new birth does not violate what God has created. That's a very important principle. The new birth does not violate what God has created. That's why shy sinners become shy Christians. And zany sinners become zany Christians. And cool sinners become cool Christians. Cautious sinners become cautious Christians. You see, God does not violate in the new birth what he has done in creation. Now, God the Holy Spirit will help you to gain control, mastery over your temperament so that you are master of your temperament rather than your temperament being master of you. He will give you the power to overcome the effects of sin in your personality, like pride or like greed or like anger. But God will not override his own work. He redeems his own work by giving you a new disposition. God never made two snowflakes the same, and he certainly never makes two Christians the same. God takes the unique individuality that he has created in you, and he moves that in a new direction. That's what the new birth is all about. It is you moving in a new direction. You feeling in a new way, you thinking in a new way, you desiring in a new way, you willing in a new way, but it's you. God moves you in a new direction. I think this is important. I remember very vividly a teenager talking with me. I'd asked her, what was it that held her back from being a Christian? And she was a kind of flighty sort of a person, and She had been under the influence of a Sunday school teacher who was as straight and as narrow as they come. And she had looked at that difference in personality and seen that this lady, who was a Christian, and a very fine Christian, was wholly other from what the teenage girl was. And she said to me, "Well, I don't want to become like Mrs.," and then named her. It was very fascinating. You see, what she had not grasped was that God could take her personality and make her a unique Christian by moving her in a whole new direction. See, this is what happened to Peter. God took this man with exuberant temperament, with his flair and with his passion, and moved him in a new direction. Peter and Thomas, to take two of the disciples, were completely different men before they met Jesus. And after they met Jesus, they were completely different Christian men. God does not clone Christian believers. He does not do the cookie cutter kind of thing to multiply one kind of sameness among his people. He takes the created individuality that in itself is a reflection of his glory, even though corrupted by sin, and he moves what he has placed in you in a whole new direction. It's a wonderful thing. There is no other Christian in the world like you. Secondly, he's not only given you a new disposition, but, says Peter to these believers and to us, he's given you a new appetite. That's really part of what this new birth is all about, because nature determines appetite. And when we're born again, you're given a new nature, and what that means is that you're going to have a new appetite. Birds have an appetite for worms. Cats have an appetite for meow mix. I don't have an appetite for either of these things. Why? Because it's not in my nature. Cats have an appetite for what cats love. Dogs have an appetite for what dogs love. Sinners have an appetite for what sinners love. And those who have been born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ have an appetite for what Jesus Christ loves. Now, of course, this is the great joy of the Christian life. It is not something that is imposed from outside of you. God creates a desire within you to live a new kind of life. And you see, that's real freedom. There is no greater freedom than when you want what God commands. That is freedom. To discover that what I most want in life turns out to be what God has called me to follow. Not only is there a new appetite that's created, it's a dimension of the new birth, but a new capacity. You see, nature determines not only appetite, but it determines capacity. Dogs can't fly. It's not in their nature. Fish can't run. It's not in their nature. Sinners can't live in the presence of God. It's not in their nature. Sinners cannot obey the law of God. It's not in their nature. You used to be in that position, but you have been born again. The Spirit of God has come to live in you, giving you not only a desire, a disposition, an appetite for this new life, but the capacity to pursue it in the power of His Spirit. Now, you may have thought that all that happened was that you decided to follow Jesus and believe in Him. And Peter's saying, there's a whole world beyond that of what is going on here. Never underestimate the miracle that God has done in bringing you to faith in Jesus Christ. There is a new birth that has gone on inside of you. Now, maybe you're saying at this point, well, how do I know if I am born again? I'm not sure I can name a time and a place. Well, I don't know about you, but I personally don't have vivid recollections of my physical birth. I've heard about it. Apparently, I caused a lot of problems by refusing to get into the right position at the right time, but I don't remember anything about it. The evidence that I was born is that I am alive. And the evidence that a person was born again is that they are living the new life, that they find that they have this new disposition, they have this new appetite, this hunger after the things of God, and the capacity to pursue it in the power of the Spirit. Now, when you see that that has happened in you and that this new life has begun, I think one of the natural questions is, well, now, why did it happen to me? Lord, why me? And Peter reminds us that there is only one answer to that question, the mercy of God. Verse 3, in his great mercy, you have been born again. Now, there is no other explanation of the new birth than this. Birth happens to you. There's not a lot that you contribute to it. And when you realize that the only explanation for this miracle in you is ultimately the mercy of God, it will leave you with a sense of awe and of mystery and of wonder and of worship. Why me, Lord? Why is it that people I know and love see no beauty in Jesus at all, but you opened my eyes so that I do? Why me? You will never answer that question except in these words, in his great mercy. God has been merciful to you. Let that lead you to worship.
What a place to have to hit the pause button today, but that's exactly what we have to do. You're listening to a message called New Birth, and we're going to continue this on our next broadcast. I do hope you make it a point to tune in. By the way, if you're ever away from the radio, you don't have to miss Pastor Colin's teaching. You can always listen online. Come to our website. It is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You could also listen through the Open the Bible app. That's also free. You're going to find it at your favorite app store. We have our daily radio program on there, our weekend program, a plan for reading through the Bible in a year, our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, and a lot more. Again, the app is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, it has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. We need to walk in humility, and we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible, and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You have faith in Jesus Christ, but you sometimes wonder, is this the real thing? Discover the surprising litmus test next time on Open the Bible.